So for carbon, at 0.03%, it's incredibly important in forming compounds, but where do we actually find that 0.03%? It's not actually mostly in strange exotic organic compounds. Most of it is present in the carbonate minerals, and calcite then is simply a pure mineral that we might find in a carbonate deposit. So carbonate deposits are the limestones and the dolomites. The elemental form of carbon, which you'll typically find in the pure form, will be diamond or graphite. But in 1985, they discovered a new form of elemental carbon, which is this buckyball form here, which you can see spinning around, or is this gold form in the top. You can see immediately that it's six-membered rings, which are fused together, so it's like a big soccer ball. And these were then named after a guy who designed huge geodesic domes, a guy called Buckminster Fuller. And so the name for these then was Buckminster Fullerenes. And there are a number of different fullerenes discovered. These things have become quite interesting because of their spherical shape. They behave like molecular ball bearings. And so they're extremely good at lowering resistance. You can put things on the inside of them for fun, and then they can behave like superconductors. So there's a lot of work goes on to sort of explore the possibilities for these fullerenes. So carbon then, it's got no tendency to form ionic compounds, but with organic compounds you can do anything pretty much that if you want to, you'll find a route to do it. So you can certainly make ionic compounds if you need to. It'll bond to itself to form chains and rings and branches. It commonly bonds then to hydrogen as the outside skeleton. Or outside shell of our molecules, it'll have a carbon skeleton and a shell of hydrogens around the outside. And then it'll bond to oxygen and the carbonyls that I talked about in the previous lecture. It'll bond to nitrogen and our amides, the proteins. It'll bond to sulfur, some of the smelly things that you'll find at the airport based on sulfur-containing organic compounds. And then halogens, the formation of those Grignard reagents required bonding of carbon to a halogen. And organometallic compounds then are an example of an organic group. So our Grignard reagent, for instance, was an example of a group 2 organometallic, but if we took out that magnesium and put a transition metal such as iron in, that would be an example of an organometallic transition metal complex.